Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Brooke. Joining me on the show is Tim from Tiger Fitness Solutions out of Cleveland, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, everybody out there. I'm really good, and I'm really excited to have you here to learn about your fitness business. But really, before we dive in full-fledged there, Tim, tell me a little bit about what it was that made you decide to get into this business, open up your own gym.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had a gym here, and in fact, it's the gym we own right now. The owner was, he has many other business ventures. And he and I are great friends. And he came to me one day and he said, Tim, is this something you want to get into? And I think at first, of course, I have other business ventures as well. But at first, what caused me to get into it is I wanted a gym in our hometown. I didn't want to have to drive 45 minutes or, you know, so the motivation was very selfish at the beginning. I wanted to get into the gym business because I needed a place to work out that was close to home. And of course, I have two great business partners, Erica and Rochelle, that all I had to do was bring it up and they're like, we're in, this seems like a great opportunity. And, they just happened to be, here at my primary business. So we just jumped in and motivation, I guess to start, it was very selfish at the beginning, but then when we realized the people that it helped, probably in that first week and a half, because we acquired the gym right in the middle of COVID. So we weren't really thinking financially sound at that time because we didn't have a lot of people coming. We just knew that this is something that we wanted to continue in our community. And it also was kind of COVID oriented. We wanted people the moment they can get out of their houses to get back into shape. So I think all those were reasons that we got into it. And it wasn't ever, hey, well, let's make some money at this. It was, we want to keep this in our community and we want to keep it, we want to keep serving people in this area.
Absolutely. So, you know, you say that the reason why you started it was kind of selfish, but this is how a lot of people get started. They're like, hey, you know, I really need a gym. Let me open one up. And then, you know, they build this whole gym and they realize, okay, wow, like, you know, we're able to serve people, we're able to help change people's lives. And then we kind of feel like a superhero, and that's the best feeling.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So that's how you guys got started. You are Tiger Fitness Solutions. And what I want you to do, Tim, this is going to sound kind of fun here, but give us an elevator pitch. Tell us who you are, what you have to offer at your facility, because I think that this gives our listener a better understanding of who you are as we move forward in the conversation.
Sure. We are Tiger Fitness Solution. We have full access to all modern equipment. We have gym mats. We have a whole back room for jiu-jitsu, boxing, karate. We have tanning that's included in our membership. You can go anywhere and probably have to pay $50 a month for tanning. $33 a month here, tanning's included, and you get access to everything in our gym, from cardio equipment to fully functional workout equipment. And if we don't have it, most people can just ask us and we will get it. So that's basically our pitch. You come to us, we will serve you, and we will help you meet your fitness goals.
Awesome. So totally personalized, kind of 24/7, right? Or is it not?
24/7.
Totally personalized, 24/7, open model kind of gym. Do you guys do classes and personal training?
Yes. Yes, we do provide classes. We have a trainer that provides a plyometric full body workout 3 days a week for people 3 times a day. We also have boxing classes. And again, MMA classes. Starting this month, we have fitness classes for kids, during the summer. So they can come in the morning and they can work out and get ready for the next school year. But, we also provide training for the high school and junior high system here. They can come in, work out on our mats, use our weights, do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we do provide, sorry, long answer to a short question. So.
Okay, totally fine. I like to kind of get a better understanding of what you have to offer because all gyms are a little bit different. And so, you know, we all know that not everybody can walk into a gym like this and be successful, you know, doing the open model. So I love that you have, you know, the classes as an option for people because there are some people that are motivated by that group atmosphere or by a coach showing them what to do. I know for sure that if I walked into an open model gym and I didn't have a coach showing me what to do, I likely would probably slack off. That's just how my brain works. And there's many people out there like that. So I love that you offer multiple kind of options for people with personal training. You know, what is that a big part of your business right now? Is it a small part? Kind of explain to us how that works.
It is a substantial part of what our business does. Again, that model where you can come in and you feel comfortable, someone walking you through exercises safely. And I think that is a key. We've been to a few places that have quote unquote personal trainers that don't have that nutritional and exercise background. So knowing that you're working with someone that is certified, someone that knows what they're doing, and I'm sure you know that from your CrossFit experience, working out's great, but if you don't do it safely, it has a short half-life. So that is something that we try to include. And we bring up with every new gym membership that we have that option for people.
Yeah, for sure. So let me understand you. I'm kind of confused because you said that personal training, you try to include it. Is it included in the membership or is it an additional cost?
It is not included in the membership, but with personal training, you just pay that cost. And then we provide everybody that's in personal training, they just have to pay $10 extra a month to have full access to the gym. So we work with our personal trainer to make sure that he is compensated well for what he does. And those people, if they want workouts on their own, they can have full access for $10 a month.
Great. That's awesome. People definitely need that, right? Yeah. You know, to learn how to exercise safely. Maybe they have a specific goal that they're trying to reach. Sometimes it's hard to reach those goals on your own. So I love that you have personal training as an option. Right now, you know, what percentage of your business would you say that personal training is?
I would say 15 to 20%.
That's pretty substantial. You only have one trainer, right?
Yeah. Well, we have a few trainers. I myself am the boxing trainer. I mean, I'm an old boxer and that was something that we, he stays busy. He has three classes a day. And of course, one is intermediate or beginning, intermediate, and advanced. Mm-hmm. My boxing trainings are three times a week and they're pretty advanced. I love that because we get people in there and they realize they can do way more physically and, they have way more stamina and strength than they've ever realized they have. So that is a great part of personal training is seeing people get the realization of what their bodies can do once their minds take over that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think like a lot of us, people might have played sports when they were young, but as we grow old and we become adults, it's kind of like we kind of forget that we're capable of all of these things. And so when you have a trainer and you're able to kind of show people that and have them make that realization, it's a wonderful thing. But kind of, you know, moving on from here, right now, how big is the facility? How many members do you guys house?
We're close to, did I say 9,000 square feet? Close to 9,000 square feet. It's a huge place. It's in an old Walmart building. So we have,
nice.
But we still feel we're bursting at the seams because we have so much equipment in there. We have about 300 members right now. And it's a good number to have for our area. But we strive to increase that probably by 45%. Hopefully 50% and it keeps growing.
The wonderful thing about this open model is like, we could have 500, 600 members and, you know, it's not always going to feel super busy because people are kind of filtering in and out. And that's what's really nice. So right now, since you are looking to grow 45 to 50%, you know, what are you guys actively doing to aid that growth process? Where are you finding your members?
Well, believe it or not, that social media is a huge thing there. In small communities like this and very rural, word of mouth is still very great in these areas. We have close relationships with most businesses in the area to where there is a synergy that works. So we feed other businesses and they feed us. In fact, there's a tattoo facility that just opened next to us. And again, they've seen growth from the fitness center. We've seen growth from the tattoo place. So a lot of this is the synergy that happens in small communities. We reach out to athletic organizations in our community as well. Let them know exactly what we're doing. We're getting wrestling mats in this, new wrestling mats in. So off season, the wrestlers can come and wrestle and, you know, just a bunch of different things, word of mouth, social media. And every now and then we will have a sign-up event, like free t-shirts, those kind of things, if you come in and sign up for 6 months. Very rudimentary, I guess, a way of marketing, but in this rural area, it seems to work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, no matter what community that you're in, it could be a small community like yours, it could be even smaller, or it could be a huge city. Word of mouth is great because it's free. We don't have to do anything to have good word of mouth other than, you know, have relationships with our clients and maybe, you know, the businesses nearby. It's pretty much effortless, but it's not really a method that we can control. We can't, you know, say this month we're going to grow by 20 new clients through word of mouth, because some months we might, there might be a lot of word of mouth going on. And then other months it's silence. And we know this in this industry, there's kind of ebbs and flows there in terms of when we're getting referrals and when clients are walking in through word of mouth. When we look at measurable methods of growth, many gyms out there are doing advertisement on social media. You mentioned that you guys do social media. Is that an organic social media presence, or are you guys running, you know, ad campaigns on those platforms?
Right now it's been organic. And again, we've had this since last January. Mm-hmm. So really the cart took off, you know, the horses just kind of ran with it. So we're looking in September to sit down and actually have a marketing campaign, something that we can actually track so we can see what works, what doesn't work. And again, in a small community like this, newspapers are really not the way to go anymore. Hardly anybody reads a small rural newspaper. But social media is something that people look at often. And of course, with the models that are in place now, you can buy, you know, advertisement on Facebook, or you can buy advertisement on the other social platforms. But that's one of the things that we really want to sit down with and say, okay, what are the positives and just like any business, what are the positives and negatives to actually creating a great campaign? What will it add? What will it take away? Yeah, I agree with you. Social media is really a hub of everything right now.
Yeah, it's huge. Positive or negative. Yeah, I think it's huge. I think that, you know, every day we talk to gyms and people are doing it and it's working really well. I know firsthand that it works really well because I've done it. Now, you said you're looking at doing this in the future in September. That's like, what, 3-4 months away?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what's the holdoff? Why is it something that you're waiting to do? Are you guys not in a space right now where you can grow, or like, talk to me about that thought process?
Oh, no. I think the thing with all of us, like let's take Rochelle for instance. I'm the CEO of this company that we're at right now. Rochelle is the financial, or basically our CFO, our chief financial officer. Erica, the other partner, is our chief operations officer. I operate a couple of other businesses that are out of state. I actually was with the Disney Institute, so that's funny that you work for Disney. So it's nothing about the gym or about, it is about time. how we're able to access time. How, if we hit something, I'm a true believer that you can shoot your best shot, but if you don't do the work before, you can totally miss. So with this, no, it's not any constraints that we're with except for time. Yeah.
I think that time, obviously, it's, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day.
So tell me about it.
So like, you know, there's only so much you can do. And it sounds like you're a busy guy. This, you know, gym isn't your only gig. You have several other things that you're doing. But, you know, when it comes to everyday operations in the gym, are you guys in the gym daily or do you have like a front desk staff, et cetera?
Yeah, no, we're in the gym daily. And we also have someone that's in there from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock most days. So we have a traveling phone. So if any, and again, small community, all they have to do is call us and we're there in 2 minutes. So it's not a, we're there on the premises every day. We want people to see our faces every day. We want them to make sure that even though it is a 24/7 facility, all they have to do is reach out. And again, small towns, most of us know each other. So it's, even though we're not there, we're just a phone call away.
Yeah. So, you know, with you guys working kind of multiple jobs here, you mentioned that this is kind of a supplement for all of you. Is that going to be the case always, or is it the goal to make this gym like everybody's full-time gig? Like what is the mindset?
No, I think the way that we can make this grow, you use the word organically. I think organically is making sure that I pay them well here, so that gym can basically reinvest in itself. And hopefully, I mean, I'm almost 50 now, and my plan is to step out and have Erica and Rochelle take that over. So build it to a point. So when that is applicable, they will have a very solvent business so they can make the decisions that they want to make.
Awesome. So if you don't mind me asking, Eric, you know, what's the goal with this business? Like if I could hand you a magic wand, throw in a little Disney magic in there, and I was like, all right, all your dreams have come true, you've reached all of your goals, you know, Tim, what would that look like?
Eventually, I would want to build our own facility. Of course, we have a huge place right now, but I would really want something with an outdoor track, something that, you know, and those plans are already in place for the most part. We've talked to the city, but, you know, about acquiring land, doing that kind of stuff. But our thing is to have a state-of-the-art fitness community that not only serves the fitness area, but I would really like to get involved in after school programs for kids, homework, those kind of things. They can come in almost mirroring what your YMCA or your Boys and Girls Clubs do. I think if we can wave a wand, we also work with adults with developmental disabilities. I just want to build a campus where everybody is has access to reach their fitness goals, and not only fitness physically, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, those kind of things.
Yeah. So a community center of sorts.
Yeah.
You can totally serve everybody in your community with a bigger facility, more things to offer. So my question to you would be, you know, right now within the business, what has to happen for that to become a reality here down the road?
Reinvestment, totally reinvestment. There are two schools of thought. If you build it, they will come, or if you, you know, it's, they'll come before you build it. My thing is reinvestment. As long as, almost like the stock market, if you can invest in it long-term, that's going to grow. The ability again, to not use that as a primary source of income, lets that gym, reinvest in itself. Till we get to the point. And again, we're collaterally stable. But to be at a point where we just want to be able to do that with very little debt.
Yep. Yeah. And so that can look like a variety of things within the gym right now. It's like, what more can you do to probably get more members in the door so that, you know, you're making a little more money. Build up the personal training departments a little bit more. So again, you're bringing in more money. Do you guys have plans to add any additional streams of revenue to what you're currently doing at this facility now?
Yeah, we're looking at saunas. Of course, we already have the tanning facility, saunas. I'm pretty brown already, but after a good workout or stressful day, I don't have a sauna, so I'll go sit in a tanning bed. And again, I'm almost 50, so I'm going to look like a leather suitcase before too long. So the saunas, also the satellite training is something that is very low overhead, again, using social media. The satellite training for people that cannot get to the gym. Networking that. We always want to build more classes. Every specialized class we can get in there, like again, we just started a karate studio in there where people come in 3 times a week. But anything that we can hit on a hub of what people are interested in. And again, that's part of that marketing plan in September is, okay, we're going to sit down and see exactly what part of the market is untapped. What kind of people do not want to come to a gym, and how do we make that accessible to them? So that will be something where it's a couple days of us just sitting down and saying, okay, here's our plan. And this is where we go from good to great. And that's a huge thing. Even the businesses I have now is we never want to stay at good. We definitely don't want to stay at bad. We always have to plan to get to great.
Yep. It's always, this business is always evolving. And as a gym owner, we kind of have to be able to roll with the punches and make changes to be better. So I appreciate that mindset, Tim. And I kind of want to end, with a quick question. What's a word of advice that you would give somebody who, you know, maybe is interested in getting started in this business?
It doesn't have to be huge. And I think that's the thing again, I go all over, I'm a consultant and people will always give me their end vision. To open a business like this, you start with the first step. It doesn't have to be huge. It can be equipment that will get you started. Low overhead is always great. Minimal debt. People will start out and say, well, we want to get $100,000 worth of equipment. You're already starting out in the hole when you open those doors. So breaking into it incrementally is the best way I can say to start any business. We all want to be rock stars, but we start out as roadies sometimes. Yeah. Wait, is roadies a good word or the bad word? It's good. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's a great word of advice. I think especially, you know, in today's industry, everybody can quickly be distracted by all the fancy things, the things that kind of catch your eye. And it's not necessary at the very beginning. It has to be incremental to get there. So thank you so much for sharing that. Tim, what's your guys' Instagram or your Facebook? Where can we go to find you?
Facebook is Tiger Fitness Solutions. You can just look that up on Facebook. We don't have an Instagram yet. That's part of it as well. But Facebook is Tiger Fitness Solutions. You can reach out to us there. And we're, again, there 24/7. You just send us a message. We will get with you.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here with us today. I totally appreciate it. For our listeners, thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, if you want to stay notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you want to join us for an episode here at the Gym Lords Podcast, fill out the link in the description and our team will be in touch with you soon. As always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have 2 more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. And joining me on the show today is the one and only John out of Red Point Performance out of Connecticut. What's going on, John? How are you doing today?
No, I'm doing well. How are you?
Always good. Always good. Always a good day on this end. And listen, look, we're excited to have you on here. And before we dive into what you have going on with Red Point, you know, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you describe the business to people and what made you get started in the first place?
Well, you know, I'm a very small personal training studio. I don't have very many clients, but I like to tell people that, you know, having the smallest amount of clients allows me to make the biggest difference. It allows me to really pick and choose my clients to allow myself to get the ones that are going to be, you know, mostly self-motivated, really need just that little bit of accountability, and are going to have the biggest success. Because I only have a few clients, I can only take the best people doing that. Yeah, you know, and so where I like to take it is small one-on-one training, small group training. Sometimes it depends on the clients. You know, it's usually like husband and wife type of stuff, or maybe brother and sister. Yeah. But other than that, you know, it's just, I got started back in 2018. Basically, I was working a desk job, didn't really like it. Just wasn't my thing. I got bored instantly. I had started working out, but, you know, 5 years prior, and I started to learn like, hey, I actually can kind of teach people some things about this stuff. Like, I feel like I've, you know, taken a deep enough dive that I sort of know more than the general population. So I got my NASM cert and, started working at a gym over in Oxford, Connecticut. Great place. Beautiful facility, great people to work with. And, you know, unfortunately that gym went under a couple of years later. I ended up snagging a couple of pieces of equipment from them, throwing it in my garage. And so I've got like a little 500 square foot facility that's got everything you need. And ever since that day, I've been, you know, training people, so.
I love it. That's awesome, man. And so, for you, let's dive a little bit deeper, right? Let's start with the bare bones basics. For Red Point, how many members or clients, whatever you want to regard them, how many members or clients do you have currently?
Right now, I'm only at about, I think it's a 6 or 7 that I have. Most okay. of them train yeah. multiple days a week. So, you know, I'm at about, you know, 12 hours a week of training, somewhere around there, maybe.
Gotcha. And for you, I'll use myself as the avatar. I think that's the easiest thing to do, right? So if I came in and I'm like, you know what, John, I'm ready to rock. Let's do it. Get me in. I'm ready to get started. What would I then have to pay to become a member?
So my prices vary on frequency. I also go to some people's houses as well. So that price is different as well. If you've got a gym at your house, I'll drive to you. So if I drive to you, it starts at about $100 a session. If you come to me, it starts at $75. So if you want to just come to me once a week for an hour, $75 a session, and then it drops $10 a session for every day a week you add. So I think it goes. I think it caps out at like $55 if you're coming 3 days a week.
Gotcha. And so, at least for the space that you're at, do they have 24/7 access, your members, or is it more of like a, you have to be there when they can be there? How does that work for you guys?
So, I mean, most of my clients that I have sort of need the accountability of me being there. But if they've ever asked me in the past, which they have, if they could just come use the gym, that's 100% open to them. You know, I don't run, not in the business of having gym members just show up and work out all willy-nilly, because it is, you know, a private residence. But, you know, my clients, if they, hey, you know, you're not going to be here next week, John, do you want me to come in and work out on my own? I'd say, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they could totally do that. So I've done that in the past, but it's not necessarily something that happens very frequently.
Gotcha. No, that's awesome. And so for you, John, what's been the best practice of finding new clients?
I mean, honestly, word of mouth. I've gotten a few people that have called me out of the blue, cold called myself, And yeah, they'll just be like, hey, I've searched personal trainers in Woodbury and you came up. Is that true? And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Is that true?
Yeah. I am a personal trainer in Woodbury. Yep.
I love
and
it.
So yeah, we'll have like a 30-minute chat or something like that over the phone, and we'll set up a day for them to come in and have their first session. Yeah.
I love that, man. That's awesome. And so now, let's say leads, traffic, everybody, all that stuff was unlimited, right?
Sure.
Clients, if, hypothetically speaking here too, if that was unlimited, what's your max? How high can you even go?
Oh, that's a really good question. I really enjoy keeping it small, honestly. I don't think that I'm built for high volumes of clients. I've had high volumes in the past, and it was a bit of a challenge keeping myself focused, let alone keeping the clients focused. So keeping that small number, I think probably around 10 clients would be my maximum, really. Especially because, you know, as I told you earlier, I'm also an EMT on the side. And so I really enjoy that too. It's something that is very fulfilling, just like personal training for me. So I like to do both. I don't want to be in one or the other.
I love that. And so let's take a step back, right, from clients here. Let's talk about leads. So if I was a lead, maybe I was interested but not ready to sign up just yet, John. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Talk to me about the service a little bit, you know, walk me around and whatnot. Walk me through that client journey, right? So being interested to them being sold the program to then being onboarded. What does it look like for you?
So for me, it's that first interview, obviously, right? So we have a 30-minute phone conversation. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer, but on average, it's about 30 minutes. We talk about your goals. We talk about your expectations, which is really important. I think understanding the client's expectations of you as a personal trainer really sets yourself up for success and also gives them sort of less excuses for themselves. From there, I like to send people out a Google form that sort of, you know, puts all that stuff that we talked about in writing and allows them to really give themselves time without anyone talking to them or prompting them to think about, you know, why they want this, what they want to happen, and making sure that they're true to themselves and knowing that, you know, I'm going to read it, but they don't ever have to talk to me again if they're uncomfortable. You know what I mean? From there, I usually, or at least I used to, I recently stopped doing this. I used to bring people in for an assessment, a free assessment. And then I would do two free sessions. And I got this habit from the gym in Oxford that I was working for. And it works in the box gym setting, or at least maybe not the box gym, but the commercial gym setting. But I feel when people contact you and you're a small gym, like I am, that it works way better if you just get them into a workout as quickly as possible. So they can see what you're about and immediately choose whether or not it works for them. So that first session, I still do free as the first session, but I do, it's a workout. You know, I use the exercises that I like to do as an assessment in themselves, which I think is the best way to do it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So after the assessment, we chat a bit about pricing. I think that chatting in person about pricing is a little bit better because, you know, over the phone, people, like I said, you know, people aren't super committed yet. They haven't experienced what your product is. So in person, talking about the contract, which I actually did away with recently. I just do month to month now. I don't like holding people to a commitment that if they don't like, they're not going to enjoy, because like I said, I have very, very limited spots. So if you and I aren't going to mesh very well and you're not going to enjoy your sessions, I'm going to be pulling teeth to get you in to complete them. I'd rather just not do it. I'd rather let you out of it and say, all right, go somewhere else. Contact me when you're ready, you know? And, So from there, I use whatever billing platform that I decided to use. I think right now I'm using Square. Send them an invoice, and we're on our way.
Take it from there. I love it. I love it. And here's a little bit of a longer-winded question, John, but a great question in itself. And if you need me to repeat anything, by all means, let me know, because it is a little bit longer. So in the fitness and gym industry, there's about three pillars of business we use pretty typically. And that first one's going to be your lead gen, right, which is your marketing. Then you have your client acquisition, which is your sales. And then you have your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those three, John, where do you feel like you could improve the most?
I mean, leads, honestly, you know, it's like I don't do much marketing. My marketing is probably just word of mouth for the most part. And, you know, when people randomly find me on Google, which I think is hilarious, because I put zero money into Google ads or anything, but I guess, you know, people call me, you know, there's like four or five personal training gyms in my area. And one in Woodbury too. Actually I think there's two in Woodbury. And so you search up personal training in Woodbury, and you know, me and these other two gyms come up, and they've probably called the other two gyms, but they end up training with me. So that ends up saying something about myself, you know.
Can't replace charisma.
That's exactly it. You cannot fake it. So client leads most likely is where I'd be able to improve more. I don't know if I'm really built for like the sustainability needed for, you know, constant posting on social media, running ads online. You know, I would need to outsource that if I was gonna improve anymore. But as far as acquisition is concerned, you know, acquisition and sales, I just let my training speak for itself. I let my charisma speak for itself. And most of the time, I don't really have an issue closing sales these days. When I first started, that was a nightmare. I dropped sales left and right. It was horrible, just because I don't feel like I was being my genuine self. And it didn't work for me. And now I learned what did. And then as far as, you know, getting clients to stay with me longer and, you know, having them ascend through the ranks of my sales, if you will, I don't really upsell clients too frequently. If they're super motivated, like really, really motivated, and I can see that, and they're trying their best and they're reaching out to me to schedule sessions, I don't have to pull teeth to get them in. And they want a workout program outside of this, then, you know, we'll talk. That's an extra charge with me. It's an extra $100 a month base price if you want like a 3-day program outside of seeing me once a week. But you know what? A lot of the times I don't find that my clientele needs that. They need the accountability of in-person training. Even though the exercise selection is easy enough and they don't screw up their form on their own. And, you know, they like talking to me. They like being in person. So most of the time I don't upsell that very much.
Yeah. Completely understandable. And I just want to say, John, I appreciate the honesty and transparency on that, because, you know, oftentimes you get folks on here and they want to seem like they have it all figured out. And not to say that you're not doing great, but just because the fact that you can have success, but still know that you can improve in certain places and be honest on air. I thank you for that. The viewers, thank you for that. Seriously.
Yeah, no, I think that if you're not, you know, completely transparent, you're giving, especially on this podcast, you know, you're giving so much information to these gym owners that are listening and people that want, you know, real world experience, a real world advice. And, you know, it's okay to be, you know, okay at a few things and be happy being a small gym owner and not being like, I got to be the biggest gym in my area, or I have to help 100 clients a day. Like, no, dude, just do your thing, grow as fast as you want to, or as slow as you want to, be as big or as small as you want, and do whatever makes you happy. Cause at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of why we do this, you know, personal training, you make other people happy, you make yourself happy. You're sharing what you love with other people. It's really special.
I love that. I love that, man. And so one last question for you, John, before we get out of here. You know, what's the bigger picture? What are you trying to accomplish down the road?
So it's kind of multifaceted, to be honest. It's realistically what I'd like to see out of myself is I like the schedule of being a firefighter. So I've been trying to get into firefighting. That's sort of why I'm an EMT. Usually in this area, they work two 24-hour shifts a week, which leaves you with five other days a week to train clients. And I'd like to possibly, you know, get up to that 10 number, maybe even go further if I feel like it's necessary. But, you know, I couldn't see myself not doing something that wasn't helping people. And I think that doing both of those things and the way that my personality is, you know, I'm kind of ADHD. So I have to have my hands in many different pots. And it allows me to sort of switch my brain between, you know, training people and, you know, most of the time they're having a good day, and then, you know, going to be an EMT, and most of the time you see your patients are having a bad day. And so it's like, it gives it that back and forth motion that my brain really likes. So I think that getting up to that higher number, getting to a nice like 2 day a week schedule on the other end, I think that for me is the end goal. You know, just being able to help as many people as I can in a couple different ways is really what I like.
I love that, man. I love it. Talk about a freaking mic drop. Holy cow. I love it, man. Look, John, I think it's a good place to wrap things up on this episode. Before we sign out, you know, please shout out anything you have on your social media, your Facebook, Instagram, website, anything you have. Where can people find out more about you and the gym?
So I am redpoint_performance on Instagram. There was another Redpoint Performance actually, which is hilarious. The name Redpoint Performance comes from, it's a rock climbing term, right? So I used to rock climb, and Redpoint is kind of like your really hard attempt at a climb that you've been working on. Right. So it's like, you're trying to finish it. That's your Redpoint. So Redpoint Performance, you know, getting that final hard push into that last ditch effort that you've been working on for a while. That's my Instagram. It's sort of turned a little, it was a business Instagram. It's kind of personal now, but if you want to, you know, dig through there and see what I was about, you know, back in 2019, 2018, then, yeah, that's where you'll find most of me. I do have a Facebook, but it's more for just, like I said, you know, like Google, being able to find me on Google. Other than that, I really don't have much else. I do have, I think my YouTube is private. I used to use it for Train Heroic. When I would put the videos and the exercises, so I'd film them and edit them and put them on YouTube. But yeah, other than that, it's pretty much all that I'm on, really.
There we go. Look, we absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast, and look forward to seeing what you can accomplish down the road. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in and join us, talk about your fitness business, click the link in the description. Fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I am your host, Austin Montero, and today we are joined by Maria and Flavia from CrossFit and Force in Gaithersburg, Maryland. How are we doing today?
Good. Hi.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you spending some time with us. I know the life of a CrossFit owner gets pretty wild. So let's dive in. So we have this CrossFit gym. I know you guys told me the backstory of how it's been there for a while. You guys bought this business back in January of this year. So it's been, what, 5-6 months?
Yeah.
Going on 7 months, if my math is right. Not my strong suit. So what was the goal behind you buying the gym, and why was this the right time?
Well, I guess there's two reasons. One, it was the right time because it fell into our lap, but it had sort of been falling into our lap for about over a year, okay. Sort of.
Over a year.
Yeah. And so the original gym started about 9 years ago, and mm-hmm. Flabby was a member there from the beginning, and I joined about a year or so later. And when did you start working for?
And then I became coach about 5 years ago. I just got my L2. So so I worked for the owner and so stay at home homeschool mom. And so it was a good little start for me. But Maria and I back at the time, we would joke that we always wanted to be like the receptionists at the gym. And we were gonna fight over that job. She would say, that's what I'm gonna do when I retire. And I would say, no, I'm doing that. Right. And then we were going to figure it out. We knew we both loved it and we wanted to do it together somehow.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. And the timing was good. So I told you guys I sold a couple of CrossFit gyms back a few years ago. What was the buying process like? Was it a long thing, a short process? How did that go over?
Depends on the month.
So the original owner, he had some personal difficulties during COVID and when we approached Flavia and so then the two of us decided, hey, we're going to do this together.
Right.
And so we spent time, and that was right when COVID was just starting to come. We were starting to think about coming out of quarantine and starting to work out outside.
Right. We were doing all outside workouts. Going to reopen
and Flavia was like a one-woman show and hired another coach, and so while we were negotiating, just things happened, and it was a really long process and but basically this another coach came in and they ended up buying the gym,
right?
Which I mean, that took several months for all of that to happen. So that was a much longer negotiation than when that other owner felt like, wow, I love CrossFit, but I'm not necessarily built to be a CrossFit owner.
Sure.
Which now, you know, makes a lot of sense because there's two of us and we're working around the clock.
Right.
So she came to us and was like, I am a much better member and coach. Right. And that went pretty quick. I mean, was first conversation maybe in like the end of October, beginning of November, and we were owners by January.
Okay.
And I mean, like, as in we took over the whole thing January 1. So I think that's pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's pretty quick. And obviously helpful that you've been there for a while, you know all the members, which is a huge, you're not coming in off from another state, flying in and taking things over. Yeah, I think a huge asset. Now, business partnerships can be interesting, right? I've been there. What are keys for you that you're able to keep your business partnership and working as best as possible?
Did you want to say?
It's probably the same answer.
First off, I think like we're very much in line as far as what we, how we see this business and the care for it. I think both of us kind of have this, you know, desire to grow the community. So, you know, it's not about us.
Right.
It's about this beautiful community that has been started and keeping it and making it just healthy and wonderful place to stay, because we want to be here all the time. We get along really well. Like we have a way of being able to understand each other's brains and how we finish each other's sentences and stuff like that. But beyond that, because I don't think necessarily you absolutely have to have that, although I think it's
fantastic for us,
is that we just really decide that we're going to work together. I want her to be successful.
Right.
She feels the same way about me. There's a lot of care in our relationship and how we work together. I just feel like if I drop the ball somewhere, she's not judging me. She's just you know, picking up the ball and going with it. It's just like one of those wads, like where you're pooped out and you're
partner wad, yeah.
Partner wad.
It's a 10-year partner wad, that's for sure, right? Or longer, hopefully longer. Yeah, it's
time, but we're both gonna win. and that's how we feel. Wanna win. And so I think it's a decision to really and then she's like brilliant too, like
that helps.
She's brilliant, she really is. And her husband is too, and he's somewhere in the building, but he helps us a lot with with things, and my husband helps too, but it's a great partnership.
We have different strengths, we talk a lot. We are pretty good at telling each other when we're not happy with something, like not like I'm I'm not happy with something, like we disagree.
Right.
And then we're also not stupid. We did sit down and write it down. You know, because we sat down, we wrote it down, we put down a list of responsibilities of like, this is really going to be me. This is really going to be you. And we're going to readdress those on an ongoing basis, because although, you know, we were friends before, we'd like to be friends before, during, and after. You know, contracts make good friends. So we did also do that paperwork part.
That's great. Yeah, I love it. I think that for the listeners, that's great advice. You know, I wrote down some things as you were talking there. Basically, aligned vision, which is awesome. Bringing different strengths to the table and knowing that, I think, is massive, right? And huge. And then just that care, conviction, communication with each other is everything, right? So I agree. That sets you up for success, for sure, 1,000%. I had the opposite experience of that. So like, you know, I like to hear that you guys said that, and it's, you know, coming to this thing experienced, which is awesome. And with a plan is huge. So back to the gym right now, CrossFit and Force, you guys are there in Maryland. In my town here, I have three CrossFits now in my town. What is the CrossFit scene like there in Gaithersburg?
Like this CrossFit, or just CrossFit,
how many are?
How many, yeah, competition wise? Are there more? Are you the only one?
We are not the only one. Gaithers, I mean, are what is it, like 300,000 people or something?
Oh, wow, big.
It's not a small place.
Okay.
Our location is okay, but we can talk about that in a minute. But so there's another CrossFit that's, I guess the crow flies, a mile away.
A mile. I just drove by them.
Okay. But there's another one that's maybe like 5 miles away, and that they actually are closing. And yeah, we're trying to find out, you know, what's going on there.
Sure.
There's another one that's like a CrossFit that's but they're more kettlebell based.
Okay.
Very different, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. And then I guess there's Mocha.
Well, and then there's, oddly enough, I think seems like our biggest competition. I don't know if they're our biggest, but just in my mind, are probably about 15 miles away, or they're ways, but somehow like in the way that travel is around here, some people go there. But you know, like Maria said, there's 300,000 people in this area, so
enough to go around for sure. Yeah, we're not looking for 5,000 members, right? It's not the goal here, like.
Yeah, 5,000 now.
Maybe 4,000, maybe four, but like five, maybe a little pushing it. I think the biggest CrossFit, I think, is still, like, member wise, I think it's CrossFit New York City. I think they're pushing like 1,000, somewhere in there.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
And they have not, and it's not a big space. It's like a tight, you know, I've been there once. It's crazy. City,
yeah.
Hell yeah. This is like you're like doing thrusters in like a tiny little corner. But anyway, so we have some CrossFit competition, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think there's enough to go around. I think it kind of keeps CrossFit on people's minds, maybe in the forefront a little more, you know. I think it makes us probably do a better job, you know, than just like if we're the only one. So I think it's all good.
Yeah.
We could go on that road forever about the affiliate model with, territories, any of that. But let's dive into your marketing. So we have other CrossFits, took this gym over in January. So we already have a base of people, which is great, right? What have you done since January till today to market CrossFit and Force, to get that name out there more? What's your marketing kind of philosophy and strategy been like?
So we were really, really very, very fortunate, because we had a pretty good flux of people come back in January. Maybe it also helped that it was January, you know, the whole New Year's resolution thing.
Yeah.
I won't look a gift horse in the mouth, yeah, but
we like to think it's us.
Yeah, we like to think it's us, right? so we had a really good influx, and that was really very, very important to us because it set us up into a very, very good first and second months.
Yeah.
Sure.
And has really made a big difference, sort of a little bit of a whew, you know, people didn't walk away.
I think also people came back, were coming back to fitness.
Exactly.
Because COVID, you know, was kind of, you know, waning as far as that. So we did have some people join us, you know, kind of off the street.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's of course affinity marketing, you know, so one of our things was we want to make our members happy.
Yeah.
Make sure our members are happy. So we did a lot of upfront member engagement like in the beginning, like meeting with everybody, setting goals, talking to them because if they're happy, they'll tell their friends, you know, that bring a friend day sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
So that's all that very, you know,
I'm finding out what they want, you know, just not just programming, but, you know, how do they want to grow? So some of the programs we could design around, around that, clinics and things.
So, and that, so that's all like the free stuff, right? That's just being, so we did do that. The way, where our gym is, you can't find it. You know, it's the typical in the warehouse, whatever behind the
back.
So
we, not a lot of the signs up, you know.
Right. So we did the big sign, the big feather flag, you know, those big.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, we've already, and that just went up very recently. And people are like, hey, I didn't even know you were there.
Right.
Who work on a road that is, on the road, right where we are.
Yeah.
So just that like $250 investment in the flag made a big difference. And then the other thing that we do is we do some paid for marketing through like Facebook and Instagram.
Sure.
So we'll use their models where, you know, we'll have a bunch of different ads and words and their algorithms to see who to be pushing it towards our website.
Sure.
And then we have our website has a whole client retention system to it as well. So I know who's clicking and I can reach out to them, et cetera. So those are right now our main avenues.
Okay.
And
I should bring a friend to you. I mean,
yeah, the bring a friend
our has worked also. Community type of.
Some free, like we've done some seminars, like a nutrition seminar. You did a CrossFit with a cop
community
outreach. So we had someone come in for that. So so those things have been getting sort of spreading our word, spreading out, you know, our what's going on with us. But we haven't really spent a huge amount of money on marketing. And I'm not sure if we'll need to. We've had a pretty steady little increase.
Yeah.
And our key thing is, I think if we keep this increase, it's stopping the people from leaving.
Which was a thing.
Which we had seen as a problem.
Right.
So that's what we really tried to engage members, do goal settings with them.
Right.
Yeah,
that stuff's great for sure. For retention, that engagement, that community, the events that we get to do in CrossFit, like we just had Murph, I'm sure, one or two weeks ago.
Yeah.
You have the Open, you have everything else we can do. And then with the marketing, right? I love it. It's got to be a big, fully faceted approach. Affinity marketing, like you said, those local partnerships strategically are huge. Word of mouth, I think we talked about. And then paid advertising, obviously big too, especially like in a flooded landscape, so to speak, right? What you said you've done it a little bit, Maria. What's the experience been like as far as like an ROI on that?
Let's see. So, I mean, I think we've probably spent maybe like $200, which is not very much money. And we've gotten about 3 or 4 members, so that's a pretty good ROI.
Okay. So looking like, okay, yeah. How many of that? So 3 or 4 people have joined. Are you tracking the leads when you get off that, like nurturing that? Do you know how many leads you're getting from that one $300?
No, it's a little bit too. So part of that expense is like will be. I don't have that breakdown really. I'll do some that was to like to push the nutrition event, and I'll do some that was like to push the CrossFit with a cop. I just started another campaign. Interestingly enough, everything I picked is like, who knew? It's drawing more women.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now I'm like, all right, I got to change these ads because, you know, it was like 1 in 4 women would click on our button, but 1 in 40 men would click on it. So clearly I am not the person to be marketing towards men.
Interesting. It's interesting, right? Like certain ads appeal to certain people. And yeah, is there a certain client you're kind of trying to appeal to, or like an avatar, so to speak, that's ideal for you? Or is it an all-inclusive type of thing?
So we are ending up having this avatar, which I don't think we intended it to be, a little bit older demographic than the gym had been 2 years ago.
Sure, sure.
In a way, it sort of makes sense because there are people that have a little bit more money.
Right.
But we really would like to bring the age down a little bit to grasp some of the younger generation because they have another energy to them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We've always been historically like a very diverse population. So, someone in every age group. And we kind of like to get back to that. But but I will say that lately, like we've had a group of young people who's been coming in quite a bit. And, you know, I'm encouraged to see them socializing afterwards and going places and
exactly,
It seems like that population is starting to
pick up again.
And we have we brought in some coaches that are younger also, right? So that I think that
that'll help for sure. That'll help 1,000%.
Some of our younger people have aged up.
We all get older, right? So it's the longer they stay, we're gonna get older by default. So I think it's good.
Of people, so typically, so some of them have
started off really young, but now they're not so young anymore.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Really cool. But I think definitely good to have a good mix of folks there for sure. So like, with that being said, I know when we get people started here. So I saw an ad, I come in, or I see the sign, I come in. What is the getting started process looking like at your CrossFit for these new members?
So we recently changed it. We changed it because we had felt that there was a gap between the people onboarding when they walk in and then actually showing up as a member and pursuing a membership. So we've changed it to be a lot more personalized and it's a one-on-one training. So it is 4 one-on-one trainings plus a first class, and that come with you to that first class so that you're not like what Flavia says, I know the corner that the new person is going to go in. You know, they walk in and they, I'm pointing at the gym, right? They walk in and they always go to that same back corner because they don't know what to do. So if they have their buddy with them,
right,
bring them up to the front and they don't feel like they're if they're fine to be on their own, the buddy sort of be in the background.
Right.
Otherwise, it's helping them through that first class.
So one of the things too, I think a mistake was to, you know, give the program away for free or to discount it so much, because I think the former owner was just attracting the wrong kind of person. They loved the idea of CrossFit, or maybe they want to try it out, but then, you know, they just never return. So a very small investment, they just don't come back. So having them, you know, having the price be appropriate and they feel like they're invested, they feel like this is a big deal. You know, is a big deal, you know, this is their life, it's their fitness, and we want them to take it seriously. So I think having them have some skin in the game was an important part. Of making them want to stay.
I agree. Yeah. I think people value if it's a little more, they value their money, right? They kind of vote with their dollar, so to speak. So yeah, I think it's more than right to charge a higher ticket, especially if we're getting started, right? Especially for the on-ramp program. And we're learning some hard stuff. And like you said, Flavia, it's like we're going to use it hopefully for the rest of our life. So it's super, super important thing and very valuable. So I'm a member now. Right? I did my on-ramp. I'm in the class setup. 2 points here. One, how do you best keep those members engaged? How you've done it over these past 5, 6, 7 months now? Like, I know we're doing events, like we said, we kind of touched on retention a little bit, but any other ways you communicate maybe with people outside of the gym, you know, via text or other technology, or just ways you've best been able to engage with your clients so far?
Yeah, that's a multifaceted
thing. Yeah. Nice. One, I mean, so we do have, once they're in our system, they will get a series of, we call it the Maria bot. Mm-hmm. So there'll be there is some automated emails. I usually send, I do email people on a regular, like the new people, how are you doing? Just to touch base with them. Right. We're here a lot, but it's very important that each member, when they walk in the door, they're greeted and the coaches really get to know them.
I was going to say that, you know, one of the things that we decided to do was to institute a lead coach.
Right.
So we have somebody who primarily does early classes, someone who primarily does midday, and then a couple of us, myself and another coach, do the evening classes primarily. And that really helps us get to know those people. We know their bodies. We understand what they're going through, their personal lives. Really deliver a, individualized program to them. And that was something that we felt very strongly about, just having a continuity. There's a danger of having like a little icon at each, shift, but we're not going for that. We're going for an understanding of the clientele and hopefully because of our stellar coach communication, just feeding the coaches the icon status.
Sure,
it's a balance.
100%. We get to create that experience for the clients and communicate with them. And we're basically selling results of coaching. So like, if we can do that really well, I think they're going to stay for a long time. Right. So
yeah,
I think in CrossFit, the product on the floor, once they're in the gym, the product on the floor definitely matters a lot. Right. It's gotta be good. And we have to be really good at what we do. Now our members are there. Retention's great. Are members able to spend money with you on things besides the regular group membership? So it's PT, it's merch, supplements, nutrition, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so we do, Flavia is our nutrition expert and has a bunch of nutrition clients.
We do healthy steps nutrition.
Yep.
We started that when I was coaching for the original owner.
Yeah.
Just started during COVID. So it's always been expanding, ever expanding. Okay. And we do the challenges, nutrition challenges, things like that. So there's that, and we go ahead.
So we do. We've had some specialty clinics that we've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've done, and we so like a people wanted to get their first strict pull-up or be able to do more strict pull-ups. Yeah, so we've done that. We're going to do a kipping, some helping people with kipping. Then we also,
those are all coming out of the goals meeting.
Yes. Right.
That we had with them. Like this is
awesome.
What
we want. Perfect.
We're giving them.
And then the last thing that we implemented is like a 12-week weightlifting class. So that means twice a week. And those people are preparing for an Olympic USA weightlifting.
Beautiful.
Competition
at one of our fellow CrossFit
So that's been like a that was very, it's been very, very successful. It's still going on right now. I don't think that we're going to be doing, we're CrossFit people, girls. but I think that we can offer the weightlifting like a few times a year where we do the specialization so that they can get that focus.
I love it. I love it.
If they want to.
I love it. It's been a great, I think it's been a great thing for the members in multiple ways because it really brings those people, again, they're putting some skin in the game. So they're, you know, there a couple times a week, really pouring their hearts into it. We have a outstanding weightlifting coach who, who's grown from within. So a lot of coaches have grown from within. Right. Has anyone not? No, all of our coaches have grown from within.
Love that. Yeah, that's great.
And, but that has, you know, opportunities for stuff like t-shirts and,
a lot of good stuff. So yeah, it's not just, we've got a lot more going on than just the membership. And that's the cool, one of the great parts I think about the model of CrossFit, like it's hard, but that also gives us that chance to do all these clinics, right? Weightlifting, nutrition, gymnastic, strongman, you know, whatever you want to do, have a competitor's class, a master's class, a kid's class. We can have so many different avenues that we can charge for. And there's also like, to me, like there's this life cycle, I'm sure you guys have seen it, this life cycle of like a CrossFit athlete, right? Everybody starts off hot, super hot, going crazy. And then over the years, you know, I don't know what it is, but so it's cool to have these clinics where people go weightlift. Maybe they go do some other kind of programming, endurance, you know, aerobic capacity, what have you. So I think it is cool to offer these other things and just the benefit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you know, you're right. You know, you come in, especially in the beginning, you know, there you've got so many gains. It's just like, wow, PR.
Yeah, this is easy.
Whatever. And then you sort of hit this plateau and then it's like, wow, I can't get better at X, Y, and Z necessarily without spending more time.
How do I
do that? I mean, there's a gazillion things on Instagram, but sometimes it helps just to have it. Let's we're gonna sit down as a group.
Exactly. And that's the cool thing we get to do at our gyms. Like I remember we used to have like a Ramad class, you know, we just do Ramad, like turn off the lights in the gym, do the Ramad thing. And, but no, very cool. And I think it just keeps people engaged, keeps them longer as members. So that's awesome. So with all that being said, ladies, what's the next year? All right. So we've been owners here 6-7 months. What's the next year from like a growth perspective or a service or maybe growth can mean many things, right? It can be more members. It could be increasing average revenue per member. It could be retention. Where's your focus next 12 months for CrossFit in Force?
I think it's funny because Marie and I just before this were saying like we kind of felt like we're out of like a phase one. Of this, and we're like entering into a phase two.
Right.
So definitely sitting down and redirecting like where we're going from here is on our very short order to do list. We definitely want to grow the gym, our membership wise. So, what do you think? 150 members is kind of
So we need to definitely get our overall revenue up. We need to get to a certain point where it can be, we're not looking to make it be rich on this,
right?
But you need to have a certain
Right.
But so it is either. I mean, we need to basically increase our average return or average revenue per member. We definitely need to increase that and go be somewhere between 125 and 150. Now, when we took it over, it was 77. Now we're at 95.
Nice.
We definitely have room to grow. We got the space to grow. We inherited some pricing membership difficulties. Challenges.
Sure. Yeah.
We need to also, remedy with time and, but we be respectful to the members as well.
Right.
So, so that's why it's a little bit of a balance.
That's always a fun conversation. Yeah. Raising the membership rate. Right. Yeah. That's always.
So somewhere between 125 and 150, and it starts to get up to that 150, then you do, you start out to increase other costs as well. So
sure.
I think that we can still manage our like maintain our output at 125, right. And then right. gets bigger, we probably have to, you know, bring in another coach, add more classes.
Yeah. There's like that 150 number in CrossFit gyms, and I'm sure you've heard of it and seen like the graph. Yeah. Like once at 150, you can have like a couple coaches, and then once you get past that, yeah, sometimes more growth isn't necessarily, maybe it brings more problems, right? So like
place to grow. Actually, the other problem we have is our location. So mm-hmm. our gym yeah. is pretty
beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great gym. We've got like 5,200 square feet.
Nice.
We're well equipped.
Yeah.
Our parking is awful.
Oh, the parking. There we go. Yep.
It's really, really awful. So we have a lot of problems with parking. So when we get to be bigger, we're going to have a problem with that. And so it's something that we're both thinking about.
That's interesting. Can I ask how much longer the lease is that you have there?
You can.
Okay. How much longer is the lease?
And I'll tell you.
All right.
So we have about 20 months left on the lease.
Okay.
So we inherited the lease. But it's time to be thinking about that, right?
Yeah.
Because what is the feasibility of becoming that 125 and 150
gym
if we can't park people?
Yeah,
exactly. So, and what do we do about that? So it's something we actually are really want to understand before we would go in and renegotiate a lease.
Sure, of course, yeah.
And you got to do that soon because.
Yeah, parking, yeah, like. With CrossFit gyms, right? Parking is key, obviously, like the garage door, maybe the high ceilings, the location, a place to run, probably missing a few other things, but I've done it so many times. I'm just like, it's a blur, but yeah, it's
good loud music can't be in a place that doesn't have music.
Yeah. And then finding a space now with the real estate market now being like, you know, supply is pretty freaking low and prices are crazy. You know, I'm sure we're kind of I'm just outside of New York City. So I'm sure we're similar kind of areas for real estate. Another fun thing we get to figure out as gym owners, you know, like that best way to move forward there. So, but hey, I think these are great goals. If there's a parking issue, I think that's a good problem to have, right? It could be a whole lot worse than that. So it's a good problem to have. So Maria Flavia, I appreciate you today coming on, sharing your story with us, CrossFit and Force. I wish you guys the best of luck. Where can the listeners check you out? Website, social medias, all that good stuff.
CrossFitAndForce.com. That's our website, and we're on Instagram at CrossFitAndForce. Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it. This was a lot of fun, and I wish you guys the best of luck. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Got it. Take care, listeners. We appreciate you guys as well. Please hit like and subscribe to be notified for all of our future episodes. Until next time, Gym Lords, we are out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsgroup.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.